Between the two of us, I am not the best known Jody in Fort Worth. You are.
No,
that is true, because every year we go to Colonial, more people come up to you and say, hey, Coach Jody.
I will definitely agree with this. There's a certain demographic that skews towards me more favorably. And
this
that's the younger male. And since I've coached for 36 years, gotten to know a lot of great young men. So it's very honoring for them to come up and speak when you see.
And I've watched you teach technique on the fairways. This past year when we were at Colonial, you were teaching swim moves to some kid out there. And I'm like, well, he never quits.
Well, I always hearken back to Glengarry, the great speech of ABC and always be closing. Well, for me, it's always be coaching. And it's ABC. Every time you interact, you have an opportunity to coach someone and make a positive impact on them.
Something that you and I were talking about a couple of weeks ago at Fred's on Bluebonnet Circle.
Right.
That was your dad, because he was a musician and he never really was an athlete. He was the guy that would get you in the car and say, you were great, I'm so proud of you, where do you want to go eat?
Sure.
How important was that?
Oh, he's everything. You know, my dad was the guy I tried to please all the time. He's my hero and the guy I looked up to. Just his praise and the joy that I would get from him, seeing in his eyes when I would perform well, and my mother, of course, too. But that's the kind of dad I had as far as a role model. He wasn't a coach. He was just a supporter and an encourager. You've got to follow along the lines of support and encouragement if you want to get the most out of anybody. And I've been, and you've been around all kinds of coaches. And back in the day, it was fire and brimstone. My way or the highway, and if you didn't like it, go turn your gear in. So they basically didn't really care about developing you as a human being. They were just trying to drive you in the sport, and not a knock on them. You only know what you know. And they were doing what they were taught.
And they got a lot out of us. I mean, they really did.
Well, sure, because you didn't question authority. Listen, the number one motivator still today is fear. Fear gets us to do things that we would normally not do. Every aspect of our life. And you throw it into athletics and motivate by fear, you know what the repercussions of not doing what's asked of you. But today's athlete, and I think people are better served, is telling your kids why you're doing what you're doing before you do it, go out and do the drills, and then convene afterwards and talk about what we got accomplished and what we need to work on. We're all invested in this together.
One of the guys that I wanted to get on the program is Jamie Newberg, who has written his blog for 20 years, wrote his blog for 20 years, The Newberg Report, and now he writes for The Athletic. How old are your kids now?
I've got a sophomore in college and a freshman in high school. How about that?
That's almost impossible to believe. You have, first of all, been one of my favorite writers for a very long time. Tell me about the best online source for sports reporting and commentary in the United States, The Athletic.
When a few of my favorite national columnists migrated over there, this has been probably about two and a half years ago, starting with Ken Rosenthal, I was an instant subscriber. I mean, that's all I needed. Like, I was not going to go without reading Ken and several others that had joined on, and that was well before they had a foothold in Texas anywhere. Right at 2 years ago, Bob Sturm gave me a call and said, hey, Athletic's coming to Dallas. They've lined me up, meaning Bob, to cover the Cowboys and asked me to build a team of writers. And he asked if I'd be interested in moving my two-decade-old blog to The Athletic. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you know, just done. I think it seems to be that it's where sports journalism is headed. And that's irrespective of me being part of it. You know, just as a consumer, I love what The Athletic is doing. And I absolutely am just thrilled to be a small part of it.
You've had a lot of experience in youth sports, and that's primarily what we do here on this podcast. And I wanted to get your thoughts about that. I was just reading this morning a story that said research shows that about 70% of all kids, and this is startling to me, quit youth sports by the time they're 13 years old. Over the years, what have you seen?
Yeah, that's interesting. And I can only sort of speak from my own experience. And that 70% number surprises me. But just because of sort of my own little bubble. But I have seen other kids leave the game that have, you know, played on my son's teams. And it seems like in those cases, they just decided, my son's 15. And I think as kids get to maybe that junior high age, entering high school, for one reason or another, they may start to specialize. You know, maybe it's because they found their true love in terms of sports, and they're going to go play golf, or they're going to concentrate on basketball, or you know, whatever it is. And they decided, you know, if they're going to try to advance even beyond high school in those sports, they probably feel like they need to put in so much time in terms of practice, conditioning, and that sort of thing, that that other sports may just have to fall off their page, and you know, maybe baseball's been a casualty for that reason. I've seen some instances where the sort of the game just sort of passed a kid by, and at a certain point, he may have realized, you know, this just isn't a sport that I'm going to continue to excel at for whatever reason. But I think I haven't seen too many instances where a kid wanted to continue to play and then just didn't for that reason. I've seen a few cases of burnout, but very few. But having said that, I'd say from an objective standpoint, even if I haven't seen it too much, I know that the specter of possible burnout exists, especially in Texas, where you can play almost any sport a good 11 months out of the year because of the weather. You know, the hours that you put in, a lot of it can be a grind when it's off season, it's just conditioning. You know, there are definitely kids, you know, boys and girls, that at some point that's going to take the fun out of the game. And that's not a bad thing. It's just their decision. It's a decision they should make. You know, they shouldn't stick with something they're not enjoying.
How important is it to find a coach who not only is a good teacher, but also keeps it fun?
I think that word, it's a little bit amorphous. I'm not sure fun is necessarily the right word, but to make it challenging and to sort of keep that passion lit in a kid is an important thing for a coach. Because a lot of times it's not going to be fun. There's going to be failure. You know, there's going to be running and lifting and things that you don't want to do to get into shape and to get better. And there's going to be, at least in baseball, there's going to be a lot of time in the cages. And you're just like, man, I want to see a real pitcher where I can actually, you know, get out of the box once I hit a ball square up.
Have you seen the video of the guy, I think it was in the Dominican Republic, and he's sitting there on a stool and he's got a slingshot and he's firing bottle caps at a kid with a broomstick. And the kid is having to swing at these dodging and swerving bottle caps as they come in. And I thought, why didn't I think of that when I was coaching? I'd be out there with ping pong balls. And, you know, that's another thing, is the expense of this sport. I mean, going to the batting cage, a glove, a composite bat, that cuts a lot of families out of the ability to even compete in some of these leagues.
Right. And I know we've been lucky. My son plays his select ball for a high school coach, and has since he was 9 years old. And so facilities are never an issue. But I know for a lot of teams, finding, you know, diamond time is difficult because there's a finite amount of fields. And depending on what age you're playing at, the dimensions differ. And so sometimes just finding a field to play on, especially if there's like weather issues and teams are all looking for a place to play that's not muddy, like that can be difficult. And so there's expense there. My son and our family, we've been fortunate that we don't have to scramble for facilities in our situation, but I know a lot of kids do. When you add that expense, and when they're at this age and they're growing every year, you got to buy a new set of, a new uniform every year, and that's usually two or three pieces for every part, you know, and because these kids are growing 3-4 inches every season. So there's a lot of costs involved. You know, like you said, in baseball, there's some, unique costs when you get into equipment that, you know, I know the Rangers are making a big effort to get into the inner cities with the youth academy they built in East Dallas to give a lot of kids opportunities to play baseball and softball that maybe wouldn't otherwise have. But, you know, that can't extend to everybody, and it cost does become an issue. And so, yeah, I think maybe part of the factor of seeing fewer and fewer kids playing when you get to a certain age, you know, cost is probably part of that.
What would you say would be a flag that would suggest maybe it's too much?
Yeah, like my daughter's the one in college, and she sort of like gave up sports probably around 8th or 9th grade and started to concentrate more in the arts. So we knew when it just wasn't something she was crazy about, and we were certainly not going to push it. You know, once we recognized that, we're like, you know, find what you love, let's do that. But just being like so with my son and his teammates, I think you can see when a kid is showing up 15, 20 minutes early to practice every time and like, let's go play some pepper, let's get on the field until coach says, let's get started. Like, that's the kid that wants to play the game. You know, he wants to work at it. And then there's some you can just read it in their face that if it's practice, it's just not as much fun as playing in a game. Or, you know, maybe in a game, you know, they struck out twice and they've booted a ball in the field, and you can tell they don't want the ball hit to them anymore. They don't want to put the batting helmet back on. Then you can just sort of see it in their eyes where, you know, the game has caught up to them and it's just not as much fun because maybe they're not excelling in it like they used to. I mean, there's different things I think you can read in a kid's face and their body language that you've got to pay attention to, because, you know, kids should never play a sport for their mom and for their dad or for their coach or even for their buddies. You know, it's got to be something that they're fired up about, or else it's probably time to find something else that kind of inspires them to get out there and do whatever they need to do.
I always enjoyed the kids who didn't have the natural talent the most. I loved working with them. Those are the ones that I wanted to spend time with. And when you saw them gain that confidence and the ability to think, yes, I can do this.
Yeah, I started teaching this past semester at SMU. I'm doing it one class a semester, and I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the kids that at the beginning of the semester, you can tell they might have been a little overmatched by the university, not so much just by my class. but as the months go on, you could sort of see, you know, they start to raise their hands and get engaged. And by the end of the semester, you can tell they want to be there. Those are the ones that are most gratifying, you know, not the ones that come in there and they can ace an exam on day one without opening a book. You know, that's great, but it's the ones that have to work at it and sort of like convince themselves that they can do it. Those are the students I won't forget.
If I wanted to get the Athletic app or subscribe today, how would I do it?
I think you just go to theathletic.com. And if you like, follow anybody on Twitter that is a writer for The Athletic, they are running specials all the time. I think without the special, it's something like $5 a month gets you the entire Athletic, you know, library. You can read anybody, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world for that one price. But, I mean, there's times of the month where you can get it for $3 a month if you hit it at the right time. And it's just crazy cheap. But if you go to theathletic.com, there's probably sort of the whatever specials are going on right there at the top.
You want to drop some thoughts on how excited you must be for the opening of the new baseball stadium?
You know, it's funny because, you know, when they said, hey, we're going to build it with a roof, I was like, that's not the way I love baseball, but I totally get it.
Yeah.
Because like, if I'm like questioning in August whether I want to go out to the ballpark, then everybody is, because I could live at the ballpark. So I got over that. And they started talking about, well, we're going to put in an artificial surface. Didn't love that idea, but the more I, you know, hear about the type of surface they're putting in, it's
same
super
here.
State of the art.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for, you know, the idea of these guys being able to take BP every day if they want to, in a climate controlled atmosphere and not gas themselves.
Yeah.
That's exciting. You know, the pitchers have always given lip service, like, oh no, the heat doesn't matter, but it does. I mean, you can just imagine the toll it takes on your arm to throw 110 pitches. If you're having to do that in the kind of heat that makes it tough to sit through 3 hours, let alone compete. I mean, I'm excited about that. And
yeah.
I'm just, you know, more than anything, this time of the year always gets me fired up that, you know, spring training's around the corner, and that's, you know, that's my time of year.
That's fantastic. Listen, man, I really, really appreciate it. TheAthletic.com, Jamie Newberg, and a cast of thousands putting together, as I said earlier, the finest collection of sports commentary and reporting online in America today. It's fun to read, and I really appreciate it, man. I will look forward to seeing you at, what are we calling it, Globe Life Field. I keep trying to make sure I get that right.
And I've
come around on the turf, too. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Jamie, thank you so much. I hope to see you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Sounds good, Jody. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You heard the stat.
Right.
70% of kids in youth sports will quit by the time they're 13 mm-hmm. years of age, and that number floored me when I read it.
We're spending too much time in our athletic endeavors. I mean, I tell every one of our athletes, increase your palette of knowledge. Have some outside interest other than your sport. Learn an instrument. Volunteer once a week somewhere. I think we get so much caught up inside ourselves, and we increase the expectations to perform. And like I say, for my dad, even though it wasn't pressure to perform, I liked seeing him being happy if I did well.
Yeah.
You know, I think the burnout factor is you should go from season to season, sport to sport. You get better when you compete. If you're only practicing or going against the same pitcher or doing the same drills over time, anybody's going to get bored with that. And at some age, you're going to just plateau and say, I'm done with it. So I went from football to basketball to baseball to track. Unfortunately, some coaches out there demand you only play their sport.
Which seems counterintuitive to me because it seems like the more disciplines you learn, the better you are at all of them.
Absolutely. You know, Patrick Mahomes, all the attention around his multi-sport athletic career and why he is able to throw the ball at different angles, run, escape, moves, and things that a typical quarterback doesn't exhibit in a pocket. And he learned all these things by playing basketball and baseball. So tying all the sports together makes you a better overall athlete. And I think those are the superstar athletes. And our coaches and our schools are getting away from pushing kids to be multi-sport. They kind of get selfish and they want that kid year-round. So their team will be state champions or district champions. Winning and losing is not important. It's developing our athletes and our student athletes. Guys like Kobe, for example, who just passed away, went straight from high school. And you can bet he was in the gym for 6 hours. How does a kid at 18 years old have the athletic skill of a grown man? It's the time put in. He is the rare example. The Kobe Bryants, the Tiger Woods, the Mozarts of the world, they are born with a special talent. They recognize it early, and they go for it with their mindset that they're going to be the greatest that ever did it when they're 5 years old. That's a rare breed. For most of us out there, we need to go sport to sport, season to season, compete. You owe it to your teammates and your classmates to participate in everything. You owe it to the coaches on the campus, and you'll be better off as an athlete. And if you're only in one sport, unless you're a Tiger Woods or a Kobe Bryant, 0.0001%, then we're better served as athletes going season to season.
To me, sports has always been a tool for teaching life. How do you identify their true interest, what they spend their time with, what
well,
they
yeah,
have the ability to
do? Well, yeah, a certain skill level that is unseen at that age.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to say it very often, but if we have to coach effort, you're not going to make it. You've got to show up with a great attitude to work and give max effort. And if you've got that, you can achieve some level of success.
You have to have that intentionality, I guess
right.
is the word.
And I've often said to kids, too, hey, if I want it more than you do, you're not going to achieve the goals you've set for yourself.
Which goes for parents,
and
too.
It's my goal to push you to reach these goals. You've identified to me what you want to accomplish. I've got the tools to get you there, as long as you put the work in.
What do you say to a kid who has just experienced disappointment? You know, went 0-for-4 in a game, lost the game, didn't play well, booted one in the outfield, missed that tackle. I mean, how do you put them back on their feet?
Well, I've personally been in those situations. I'm sure you have, too, where you feel like you didn't make the play that could have change the outcome of a ball game.
Yeah.
We got to understand as competitors, there's always tomorrow. You know, what could I do to be better individually and to help this team be better? No one wins every game. It's the will to win that makes a winner. To compete to the very end, even though you may not end up winning, but you had the will to win. That's how people come back down 24 points.
It all starts between the ears.
Their will to win never diminished, even though they got behind. It's that will that never went away.
What was that commercial for Nike, I think years ago, with Michael Jordan, where he said, I fail, and I fail, and I fail, and I fail again, and that is why I succeed?
Well, you do anything enough times, you know, you've had as many poor outings as you've had good ones.
So. Yeah.
And my golf game reflects that sometimes, so. That's what you learn, you know, through that game. It's all mental.
Just being encouraging and supporting and trying to keep that at the forefront of everything you do with your kids is key to helping them love a game that they probably will end up playing the rest of their lives.
Through athletics, we want to give them a great environment, encouraging, and make them want to be physically fit their whole lives, whether they, you know, stay with football forever. You know, I've coached youth football for 3+ decades. It's just encouraging the kids to be active.
Yeah.
And to stay with it. And those that seek my help outside of their sport, not dissimilar to math or science or English. If they want to excel a little more, they're going to go to a tutor. I'm an athletic tutor. I can help you fine-tune your skills, show you a different way to achieve the goal.
And give them context.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, because if you're only one-dimensional.
My theory to every athlete I encounter, male, female, your number one goal is to be a good person and character. And your schoolwork is always more important than your athletics. You earn the right to be on an athletic field or a court by being an outstanding student and a good person in that building. A coach should never go to a teacher and ask why Jody isn't passing. If Jody isn't passing, he's not doing the right things. You're not going to play. My dad sat me when I brought home a bad citizenship grade. I didn't get to leave the room or play in the game that weekend.
Yeah.
So I went from sitting in the back of the room being a knucklehead to sitting on the front.
I remember.
Because I didn't want to lose that privilege.
Yep, yep. Love you, brother.
Love you.